Doesn't matter if you don't know how to get there, but you better have a trustworthy guide, right? How many of you have been guided wrong by Waze? Huh? Or Google Maps? Are you a good navigator? Anybody good navigator in this place? I'm a man, so I would love to say I can navigate. I cannot. I get lost. Very easy. We were going somewhere a few weeks ago, and we were using an Uber to go, my wife and I, to go somewhere not too far away. And the Uber driver's driving, and he's going, and we're late, as is customary for Mark and Marinelle. And so I'm like, okay, and I tell the Uber driver, I'm going, you know what, if you make a left right here, we're gonna get there a lot faster. And she's looking at me like, are you crazy? You're Mark. You don't give directions. And I said, no, turn left right here. We're going to get there. We're going to cut through, get on it. And it's a dead end road. And she starts cracking up because it's like, that's just not something I should be doing. I have lived in this area for 2 years, and I am not exaggerating. I still use a GPS to get to LAX. That's how bad I am. I rely on it. So anyways, I don't know what all that has to do with what we're talking about today, but we need a reliable guide, especially for those of us who are directionally challenged in life. And last week in this series, we talked about why we can't leave here, right? And the reason was is because, or why we have to leave here, the reason is because Jesus is always moving forward. He's going forward. He's moving. He's got a plan for not only our church, but he's got a plan for your individual life, and it requires continuing to move forward and to go forward and to go on. How do we do it? We get it. We want to leave. We want to move forward into our next. How does that happen? What does that look like? That's what we're going to look at today. And first, it's to make sure that we have a trustworthy guide leading us into our next. And so the question for you to think about is who's been guiding you? Is it trustworthy? Because if it's just blogs that we're reading, or if it's a family member or a friend who loves to give unsolicited advice, anybody have those people in your family? Or social media, or the news media, what's our compass? Who's directing us? Every one of us has been led astray by bad direction, by following a lead that we shouldn't be following. The good news is that Jesus is a guide who can and is willing, very able to lead us into our next step. So that's what we want to look at today. He's a trustworthy guide. We've been looking at a passage, a story in the Gospel of Luke every week during this series. And so I just want to do a quick recap. This is where Jesus originally met Peter. And so he's on the shore. Jesus asks Peter, hey, in order to address the crowds, it'd be much easier. Can you launch out a little bit offshore so I can use the water to amplify my voice? And Peter, he does it. He goes out there. And then when Jesus is done speaking, remember, he asks Peter, will you launch out into the deep now? And we're going to go catch some fish. And remember Peter's response, you know, he's like, we fished all night. At the time that you're actually supposed to fish, we've just cleaned our nets, you know, inconvenient. We talked about that last week. He was interruptible. But he said, nevertheless, it's your word, I'll do it. And so he launches out and catches the biggest catch of his life. His boat is full. His partner's boat is full. Comes back in. He falls down and realizes this is God, and I'm a sinner. Lord, depart from me. He has this revelation, and Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Your life is about to change. Will you leave this and follow me? That's what God is doing. And that's what he's always doing in our lives. You can be sure he's got something of a next for you. Here's the theme verse we've been looking at every week. Isaiah 43:19. Why don't you read it along with me? Okay, you ready? Let's go. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Jesus was calling Peter into his next. He is calling us into our next. And what that means for you and me and others in here individually, it's going to look different. It's going to look different for each one. But there are a few things that if we're a follower of Christ, we could be sure he is calling us into. It's non-negotiable. We know about at least these three areas that he's called us to. And so we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at what has he called us to, and then we're going to look at how do I get there, okay? So here's number one, three places where Jesus is calling us. One is to the church, to the church. Let's look at these passages here. This is in the prayer of Jesus in John 17. It says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and I. That's you and I. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, connected to each other. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be one in us, connecting us to Jesus, so that the world will believe you sent me. And then John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. It's that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. As I have loved you. That's a heavy love right there. Love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And by this, not by the fact that we can quote scriptures, or we don't smoke or drink or chew or hang with those who do, not that we have Christian slogans on our shirts, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's how they're going to know that you are Jesus' people, because you have love for one another. First thing we're called to is the church. And we know we talk about this around here a lot. The church is not a building. The church is people. The church comes to meet in this building, and we're grateful for it. We want to be good stewards of it. But we kind of get it wrong when we say, I'm going to go to church, even though we all say that. We know what we mean by that. But the church goes to a meeting place. And sometimes we gather in large meetings like this, and we're in rows, and sometimes we gather in small meetings, in groups, where we're in circles, and we're doing life together. Both are important that we gather. But he says, as you gather together, and as you do church, and as you do community, your first calling is to love one another, and to be there for one another, to strengthen each other, and equip each other. We need that in our lives. I was talking with a member of this church this week who had a situation earlier in the week, and he was able to put the word out there, and there was a overwhelming response of love and care and to meet what his particular need was. And he shared with me, he says, I'm so glad that I've made investment in people, because now that investment has come back and blessed me. And he was bragging on the church. And I was just so happy to hear that. Not only his needs were met, but just the church's response. Because it's like, how many of you ever, somebody brags on your kid, and you're like, yeah, okay, I like you now. Because that's all it takes. Just say something good about my sons, or say something good about my wife, and it's like, your stock just went up, right? So I was feeling that. Like, he was saying, he's bragging on the church. I'm like, oh, I love this church. They just do. They respond, and they do life together. That's where we're going. That's our first call to the church. It's important that we come here. It's important that we do this, both big meetings and small. Second area where Jesus is calling us to is to the community, to our communities. Luke chapter 9, verse 2, Jesus says, or it says, then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he not only ministered to them and they were walking with each other, but then it says he sent them out to tell others about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see, walking with Jesus or following Jesus isn't just about being with Jesus, having my thing with Jesus. We have received from him, and so we give. We come here and we get fed so that we can go out and feed others. It's not just to get fat, right? It's to go out and feed other people. We come and do community and do church services and do all the neat things that we do together, and we get healed in time. And God's healing us and mending our brokenness physically, emotionally, spiritually. We get healed so that we can go out into our communities and be agents of healing. The Bible says, freely we have received, so freely now we give. That's the point. It's as we go from here into our communities that we really begin to engage with the mission of Christ, and that's to touch people's lives, to go into our communities. This is played out in a lot of ways. It's got a lot of legs. There's many of you who are doing this all the time. It's just, it's being there for a neighbor, you know? It says, you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name. There's a reward with that. It's feeding the homeless, like we'll be doing next Saturday morning. It's praying for somebody. I mean, you're at work or you got a neighbor and they're telling you about a loss of a loved one or a situation in their life, they're sick. You know it's okay to just stop and pray with them? Say, hey, can I pray for you? Now, they're not going to be offended. They're really not, unless you're weird, you know, and start, Jesus, I pray! And, you know, start, don't do that. Don't tell them you go to this church if you do that. Okay? But just be loving. Reach out to people. Care for people. And that's how we do it in our communities. I'm pretty stoked because the question that we have is us doing what we do here, when we come in and we do, does it matter in our communities? Is this mattering in our communities? Because we want that answer to be yes. And so we do this individually as the church. We go out collectively into our neighborhoods, into our jobs, and we be, you know, Jesus followers and ministers of the gospel there. But we also want to do it together too. So, like, one thing that we're going to do, we're doing it with all of our network churches. We're so excited about it. And we're going to do it here in Venice. We're starting a new series next week called I Heart Venice, right? And it's got the heart on it. And what we're going to do is October 29th, we are not going to gather in here. If you show up at 9:15 or 11, ain't nobody going to be here. We're not going to gather in here. We're going to gather out there. We've got service projects going on that you are going to be able to get to sign up with. And we're going to be feeding the hungry. We're going to be feeding the homeless. We're doing projects with the Boys and Girls Club. We're doing projects at schools. We're going to Harvest House. You know, we're going out into the community, and everybody who participates, you're getting a shirt that just says I Heart Venice, and it doesn't have any Venice Church logo or website or any advertisement like that. We're just going to go out there, and we're not going to try to get them to come to church or anything like that. Just go and just serve. Okay, let me try this group. We're just going to go and serve, you know? Isn't that good? Just going to go do it. And just go out there and meet and bring church, bring service, bring ministry to the people. There's many other things. You're going to start hearing more about this next week. If the church disappeared tomorrow, if Venice Church disappeared tomorrow, would our community care? See, undeniably, we want that to be yes. We want to be intertwined with them, do life with them, make it matter to our community, not to just us and our group, that we are here. Inextricably connected with our communities. Now, here's the third place we are called to go. Church, community, and to the world. Beyond our communities, into all the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a call to go beyond our community. This is the call that he called us into as followers of Christ. This is to the world. So this involves some people maybe taking short-term missions trips. Some be full-time missionaries, like our Bright Hope School in Uganda. I know that this next year, in 2018, there will be another opportunity for people to go on a missions trip and go over there and serve in the orphanage. We do this through building homes in Mexico, of reaching beyond us into the world. The clean water wells that we have, the disaster relief that we've been able to do like every week over these last couple of months with different places that have come up, that's taking it not only church, community, but to the world. Another thing that we do here is we believe in planting churches because that saves people. That's a way you can reach the world and not just our community as we plant. There's this church, this network, started out with one church, 100 people in Chula Vista down in San Diego. And now there's that one. There's one in Temecula. We have one in Temecula. We have one in Salt Lake City. We have one in Imperial Beach. We have another church in Torrey Pines, La Jolla. We have one in Tijuana. We have one in Pasadena, and we have, you know, the cream of the crop in Venice, right here. We've got two more churches that we're getting ready to plant in 2018. That's because we're a part of a whole network and a community of believers that says, it's not just about us, it's doing more. It's getting out there. It's reaching people for Christ, and it's so important. And here's the thing. Sometimes the call for you when it comes to, like, to go to the world will be go, you know. You're going to go. You're going on a missions trip. You're going to do something like that. You're going to go and move your family to another location to help these people plant a church in that area. Sometimes it's go. Other times it's to help send them, which is equally important. We got to send. And so we get behind it financially. We get behind it in prayer. We get behind it just in helping them organize and plan for what they're going to be doing. We've got a residency program in the church and all of our network that is training up people, young men and women, training them up in order to get educated, in order to learn how to lead and learn what it takes to plant a church. They're going to be with us for a year, and then we send them out. I'd like to send, not yet, but I want to send some of you with them. If we plant wherever, in Torrance or in Hollywood or wherever we go, to send people and go. And just keep this kingdom of God thing moving. And we don't camp out and say, oh, how neat it is. He's called us to the church. He's called us to the community. And he's called us to the world. There's an old saying, it goes like this. Don't ask God to guide your footsteps if you are unwilling to move your feet. Right? I mean, I know that we could pray sometimes, and we're always praying, God, touch those people over there, or God, do something in that area, or God, do this. And God's like, why do you think I created you? You're that which I want to send. Go, be a part. All right, so we get it. This is where he's called us to. Now, how do we get there? How do we get there? What do we do now? What's our part? Well, there's three things I want to focus on right now that we got to leave behind in order to move into our next. Okay, you ready? Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God is speaking to his people, and he says, hear this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Number one thing we need to leave behind so that we can move forward into the calling of God is our fears. We need to leave behind fear. Is there something that you're afraid of that is prohibiting you, not allowing you to move forward and trust God in the future? There's people I know that you may be in an unhealthy relationship, and you know it. It's not good. It's toxic. It's dysfunctional. It's ungodly. You know it's not a relationship that you should be in. You know that. Nobody's got to convince you, but you stay in it because you're too afraid of being alone. And that's a fear thing. That will God provide? Is God enough? Will he bring somebody else into my life? That's his will. And so we'll stay in something that's destructive. Fear. For others, it's a fear of being in community. When we talk about growth groups, man, you just get, you know, your sphincter tightens. You're like, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to get together and, you know, share my story and, you know, do community and all that stuff. Because you've been hurt before. You've been betrayed. And so you put up a guard. There's fear. You may not call it that, but that's what it is. Fear of having to trust again. Fear of being vulnerable. There's people, maybe even here today, that you've come and you've come here for a while and been kicking the tires of this whole Jesus thing, and you're very interested. There's even a want to in your heart to give your heart to God. And to know what that's all about. But you've been your own savior for so long to surrender to God. You don't know what that looks like. And there's a fear of what that's going to look like or what he's going to do with you. Let me tell you just a little bit of what that looks like. He is a good, good father. He's a good father. And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if life without him were better, then why don't the rest of us go back to that? You know, I know there's fear involved, but we can't let fear be the thing that holds us back from moving forward into our next. Otherwise, we're stuck with what we have. And for many of us, we don't want to be stuck. We want to get about to living and to being a part of the Jesus mission that he's called us to. Here's the second thing we need to live behind. You can write this down. Security. Oh, yeah. want you to think about this, okay? Whatever is at the center of your life will be your source of security. Whatever it is that's at the center of your life is the source of your security. That could be a job. It's the center. Or money. A person. Whatever's at the center of your life is the source of your security. The problem with it being anything other than Jesus is all these other things, even though they're good, they can change. They can go up, they can go down. We could have lean seasons and fat seasons. And if you're anchored, your source of security is that thing or that person or that career or whatever it is, man, you are utterly dependent on it being okay so that you're okay. And there's nothing outside of Jesus that stays okay. He's unchangeable. He doesn't wake up and we got to wonder what kind of mood he's in. Do you know what I'm saying? He's Jesus. And so I want to have these other things in my life, at careers and in relationships and loved ones, but only one I want to be the source of security, and that's Christ. But it's difficult again. Remember in the story we read about it a few weeks ago when Israel was coming out of captivity and they were promised to go into their next, right? It's kind of like us. Some of us have been set free. No longer bound up with this, but we're not yet into our next, and there's a journey. And a lot of times that journey is some rough terrain, some wilderness. And so they're in this journey, and here's what some of them were saying. Even though they were set free and going into a new place, in the journey, here's what some of them were saying. Exodus chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Didn't we tell you this would happen?" They're grumbling. They're speaking to those leading them. "Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" They're saying that. What is this? This is a bondage mindset. This is somebody, any person that says, "You know what? I may not like where I'm at, but it's better than not knowing. And at least this is predictable. I know what this drug will do. I know what this relationship will do. It's predictable, so I get that. So I'll stay in bondage. I'll stay in an addiction. I'll stay in an unhealthy relationship. I'll stay lord of my own life because I've got too much fear. I'm worried about my security if I go and surrender to God and walk into some next things with God." But here's the thing about what we consider secure. What is really certain in our lives that you can go, "This is certain in our lives, this side of heaven"? That's not. Our certainty and our security, man, it's a big one because we all care about it. I remember years ago, I went and I was going to Bible college. I wanted to go into full-time ministry, even though I didn't know what that meant. I just wanted people to know about this transformation that took place in my life with Jesus. I was stoked on him. And so I went. Before school started, though, before I enrolled, I had to get a job. And those always get in the way of good fun that we want to do, jobs. And so I did. I was a painter's apprentice in Sacramento. That's where the college was. So I was a painting. And I had done painting in my past, and painting kind of comes easy to me. I enjoy it. Kind of weird that way, but I do. It's like at the end of the day, you can see what you've actually done. You painted this house or this wall. So I did it, and I was doing all right in it. And then, you know, fast forward a number of months, almost a year, I was getting ready to start my first semester in Bible college. And the boss who I'd gotten close to, he had one of the biggest painting contractors for the developers in Sacramento. Big business. And he comes and he's a Christian man. And he said, "You know, Mark, I know you want to go into ministry and do that. And that's good. Not everybody, you know, not everybody has to be a career minister. You know, you can do a lot of good just in a job." And he was kind of greasing the wheel a little bit. He said, "This is what I'm proposing to you. I want you to postpone going into Bible college for a couple of years. I want to get you your own projects, give you leadership in this company. I can get you your own truck, and I'm going to bump your salary up to here. This is a career for you." I was like, whoa. Because you got to remember, I had no security at this time. I was in jails all the time and messed up in our streets and doing things and crazy. I never knew this. And this man was offering me something that was legit, right? And as a young man, about 21 years old, it was really enticing. And it wasn't bad. Here's a saying I want you to remember. The enemy of the best is the good. That was a good thing he was offering me, but God had a best. He's got a best for you too. And I knew, I wasn't that strong of character at that time or anything else, but I knew, if I'm going to tell other people for the rest of my life about this God that they can trust and that loves them, I need to prove his trustworthiness in my life. I need my own story to tell. And so I didn't know what Bible school and college was going to look like. I didn't know how I'd end up in ministry. Who am I to do something like that? I didn't know all that. It was very uncertain. Security would have been take the truck, take the salary increase, take the position, just do this and be another good person in the kingdom of God. But I needed to prove that. That's why God calls us out sometimes, guys, into places that are scary and to do things that are uncomfortable. He wants to prove himself to us. He is the one you can anchor into. These are things that I've had to work through my whole life and still working through my whole life. Here's the third one that we have to leave behind. Not only fear, not only security, it's a little thing called pride. Not so little, huh? Pride. I dealt with this in that same time zone. I still deal with this, but then it was really something because I show up at the Bible college and I kept a real safe distance from a lot of the student body because they were like, you got to remember, I was like, only a year I was still incarcerated, only a year prior. And so I'm fresh out, you know, these are like nice people, young men and women, you know, who were nice and they looked nice and they drove Honda Civics. I had tattoos and drove a motorcycle and I'm at Bible college. And I kind of kept my distance, just like, I don't know, I felt like a square peg in a round hole. It's like they went to Bible college before Bible college. They knew the scriptures, and they would quote scriptures to each other and do all these things. And I was like, where did I miss something? Was there like a whole course before you guys showed up here? How do you know all this stuff? And so I felt that way. And again, I felt like a square peg in a round hole. So I kept my distance. One time, I don't know, out of pity or compassion, a couple of the guys in the school, they said, hey, come on, we're having a party, you know, at our house. And some of the people from the church are coming over there too. Well, come to find out, their parties were not like the parties I was used to. So I show up. I said, what can I bring? And they said, why don't you pick out a movie? We're going to watch a movie later on. So I'm like, all right, you know, here's my chance. So I grab my favorite movie and I show up with a 12-pack of beer and I'm ready to have a good time with these guys. And I wasn't meaning to be, I was just me, and I didn't know, right? You don't bring beer to a Bible college party. I didn't bring the hard stuff, I just brought beer. I thought this was good. This is like, you know, light. So they took that, the host was real gracious, he goes, oh, here, get that to me, and he goes and hides it, you know, over here. And then they put the movie in, and I wasn't thinking about that either. I just picked my favorite, you know, dude movie, and we're watching, and all of a sudden, forgot, I guess, because I'm sitting down with all these Bible college students, and man, the language, the bombs start dropping in the movie, and there's scenes that are a little risque, and I'm like, oh, Mark, you stupid. They had to shut it off. They had to shut off my movie and give it to me and say, thanks for trying. Oh, man. My pride and my, oh. And so that made me even stand further away. And I thought, you know, I'm just into God. I don't need whatever, you know, I don't know how to do all this. So I'm going to do God, me and God. So I did that. But God will never let you get away with that if your heart is really after him. He won't. Because doing his mission involves community. It does. So I'm in class one day, and one of these dudes raises his hand and says, hey, prayer request. And he had needed a place to live. And he was wondering if anybody had a place for him to live. He's about my age, guy in school, but I'm thinking, no way. And I had room. But I thought, no way. That's my place. I work hard, you know, for this place. And besides, I'm not going to bring in some, you know, wannabe preacher Bible dude and you come in and start judging me, you know, for this and that. And I was scared. And really, what was it? It was ego. It's ego. Ego will kill you every time. It gets in the way, our pride, our ego, from being vulnerable, from following Jesus. I can do it my way. So I ended up asking, I told him, hey, come live with me. Got a spot for you. Come live with me. And that dude became, you know, my best friend, one of my best friends to this day. In fact, the dude who took my beer real quick and hit it before everybody, he's another one of my best friends to this day. That was 30 years ago. These cats are my brothers, right? And it's from breaking out. And it's going to look different for you than it did for me. I've had to do these things, and many times I've done it the wrong way, and I've failed at it, and I've had to get up. I have never had one regret, and this is no lie, one regret in the time I trusted God to be my security, trusted God to move out with him. I've had plenty of regrets when I went my own way or through counsel that wasn't God's. He does not let us down, but it will require us to move out and to be involved in Jesus' mission and to leave fear, to leave security, leave our pride behind. And ain't nobody going to do that perfectly. It's going to be one step at a time. But when you get convicted of it or you recognize it in your life or somebody that loves you is kind enough to point it out, it's at that moment you're about to make all the difference. I made this statement a few weeks ago in this series. I want to say it one more time today. There's a lot of people who wonder why they're not having this closeness with God and this excitement and ministry and things that are going on and they're not seeing it, and it's because they're ankle deep. And they're ankle deep. And they're wondering why they're not getting this call or not hearing from God. They don't know what they're... To the degree that you launch out determines the degree that you receive. That's what it is. You want big God stuff happening in life, you got to get big God into God, you know? We launch out, and then it comes back, and it's moving. Ankle deep is no way for the Jesus follower to live on what is safe, what is manageable, right? What is predictable, what I feel like I can fit into my day timer. This is God. He's calling us. And so we're going to launch into this whole series next month. We're going to go out to the community. We're going to do this. We're going to build this up here, and we're going to plant churches, and we're going to be a part, and we're going to look back 10 years from now. We're going to go, do you remember? You know, back in 2017, that's when God called me to launch out with him and go into my next. I was afraid, but I did it. I was worried about security, but I did it. I had plenty of pride, but I still went forward, and he's working on me. So here's a question as we close today. Bottom line, write this down. Finding our next is simple. Finding our next is as simple as listening to the voice of God and then having the courage to do what he says. It's really that. Having the courage to do what he says. I believe you're with me on this. I really do. I sense it from our conversations, all of it, that we want to do something here that makes our communities glad that we're here, where people are growing, they're getting healed, and they're going out and bringing Jesus' mission to not only the church, but the community and the world. Let's pray together over this, okay? With your heads bowed, I want you to just think this. Will you have the courage to do what he says just today to your heart? Just for this next step. To leave behind whatever is blocking you or distracting you and say yes to God. Let's pray. God, we love you. This world that we live in is complicated. Our culture is complicated, especially in these days. We pray that you will guide us, God. Will you give us the courage, Lord, to follow you, to go? And when we do, may we see your miracles in our families, in our neighbors, in our communities, throughout the world, as we go forward with you into the next, Lord. And we will give you all the glory. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.